and I would like to have a roll.
Greg Jones.
Stu Martinez, present.
Cameron Parker, present.
Karen Ward, present.
Kathy Egan, present.
Okay, and I'd like to ask the Planning Commission, who is in attendance tonight with us, to open.
I'd like to call to order the joint hearing with the City Council and Planning Commission on Wednesday, October 9th. I can have a roll call, please.
Justin Batanen, Planning Commission.
Gloria Lemming, Planning Commission.
Douglas Ward, Planning Commission. We do have a quorum, and let the record reflect that our fourth member, Norma Klung, has an excused absence.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. At this time, I'd like to ask our visitor, for I haven't seen him in a long time, to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Just, you know, I put the tape recorder down here because this is where people will be talking and
citizens
are hearing. So don't be for gossiping.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are there any added agenda items? Hearing none, we will proceed to the consent agenda. Is there any comments or issues with the consent agenda?
Mr. Mayor, I need to state a possible conflict with bill payable to Wilderness Derby.
Thank you very much. It's noted. Anything else? Entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
So moved. Seconded. Any questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? It's unanimous. Approval. At this time, we will call for public comments. Are there any public comments?
You're here for the hearing. It's not on the agenda, or if you're not here for the hearing, this would be you just came down to tell us something off the wall.
Okay. I can do that.
Okay. Excuse me. At this time, item number 8 is the joint land use hearing to review the proposed ordinance and findings for the adoption of the transportation system plan for the city of Opine. Now I'll ask the Planning Commission to move to into their hearing.
All right, as the Chair of the Planning Commission, I'll open the public hearing section of the meeting. We have comments of the staff, please.
I'll turn that right over to our planning director, Deborah McCann, who has our consultants here that have been working on this for quite a while. She'll introduce the folks that are here with her.
Good evening. For the record, my name is Deborah McMahon, and in your packets, I provided you an issue summary that describes why we're talking about the transportation system plan tonight. If you remember going back to when we developed our comprehensive plan, that was approved with a condition from the state that we proceed to adopt a transportation system plan for the community. And so we received a grant graciously from ODOT. Devin Hearing is here on my left tonight. And with that money, we were able to hire fabulous consultants from Kittleson and Associates, Joe Bestman and Ashley Griffin. I was going to say Green. And they're here tonight to present data and run you through the basics of our transportation system plan. It's very important to remember that we have a two-map system and how that relates to transportation planning. We have a zoning map that has zones that are consistent with the county zones and the zones that we intend to have for right now. The long-term plan, which is our comprehensive plan, shows what zoning should be like over the term of the plan. And the state said we had to have a two-map system until we got our TSP done. And after this TSP process, we will want to consider about going to a one-map system. So for tonight, I'd like to have Joe and Ashley present the TSP, and then we'll follow with any questions.
All right. So again, Joe Bestman with Kittleson. It's been a real privilege being able to work with you guys here in Oconee. And I know we've presented to you a few times before. I've seen many of the faces in this room already. So what I was hoping to do is really just hit some of the highlights tonight of the plan, some of the big picture issues. I think the presentation will take 15 minutes or so, and then we'll be able to answer questions that you guys have and hopefully address any.
So let's pick your laptop up, screw it up on the counter so you're not standing in front of where we're all watching.
Yeah.
You can see that's probably the best thing. I can come help you logistically if you need that.
There. Yeah.
Good call.
I've had a lot of coffee, so this 15-minute presentation might be even shorter. So what is the transportation system plan? So, you know, the city has the comprehensive plan. It shows, you know, the different zoning that the city wants to implement. And the transportation system plan is one element of your comprehensive plan. It's the transportation chapter of that book. And
would you clear the things off the screen?
Thanks.
Sorry to bother. We're just trying to get you going.
Appreciate it, Rick. So really what we're trying to do with the transportation system plan is give the city a sense of how the roads and the multimodal system can develop and grow in an orderly process to support the land use goals and the housing goals and everything else that you guys are looking at for the city infrastructure. So that's really what we're trying to do. And these plans need to coordinate with the state, and we've got Devin Hearing from ODOT here with us today. They've got to comply with the state goals and with the county goals, and you know, and make sure that those big picture visions of how this is going to work together is implemented at the city level. So the goals that we came up with at the start of this transportation system plan project were really to make it a safer, more functional, more efficient system. You know, nothing too surprising. And I do want to talk about the comprehensive plan integration and specifically the land use integration in just a little bit of detail. So when we develop a transportation system plan, this is really premised on land use. You know, if there's commercial properties, those typically generate more trips and then a different type of trip. So as we worked on this transportation system plan, we started our work with the comprehensive plan map that Deborah provided to us, to understand where growth in the city of Lapine is going to occur, what intensity it's going to occur at. Now, the challenge we have in Lapine is we've got this really big urban growth boundary, right? So the transportation system plan is supposed to look at 20 years of growth, approximately. But we have an urban growth boundary that isn't going to be built out in 20 years. It's maybe a 50-year boundary. So one of the things we can't do is we can't assume the entire urban growth boundary is fully built out based on the zoning on this map. Because again, we'd be looking 50 years ahead, not just the 20. So what we did instead was made pretty realistic assumptions. We looked at the roadway system, we collect counts, and we said, you know, over the last 10 years in Lapine, we've seen, you know, 1% to 3% growth, you know, minus the dips and the rises. We've seen this 1% to 3% growth in the city as a whole. And so that's kind of the way we've looked at the plan here in Lapine, is using that more reasonable level of growth. And that's how we're accounting for this much larger boundary than what build out really means. Does that make sense at all? Or any questions on that before I move on? Okay. So here are some of the key findings, and this relates to the picture directly behind Rick. You know, this was the summary graphic that said, hey, here's the issues in the city. And generally what we found is the system works okay today from a capacity standpoint. What that means is the roads are big enough to handle the number of cars. But the problems we found with the roads is they're not well interconnected. You're very reliant on the highway. The access to the highway, there's too many, they're too close, it creates a lot of confusion, a lot of conflicts. A lot of the roads are very rural in nature. You know, these are county roads that are now part of the city of Lapine, so they don't have the typical urban sidewalks and bicycle lanes and real clear designations. So that's really what we saw as some of the key needs in the city. And so with that, I'm gonna turn it over to Ashley. kind of walk through some of the major projects and some of the major findings of this plan.
Thanks, Joe. So, as Joe said, I'll walk through some of the key improvements we've identified in this plan. So to start with, this is the proposed functional classification map that you'll find in the plan. And the functional classification system basically breaks down the roads into a hierarchy system, arterials, collectors, and local streets. And the arterials' intent is to provide mobility throughout the city, whereas local streets are more intended to provide access to residents and businesses. So what we've really tried to do with this functional classification system in the city is provide the city with a core grid system, especially down in the urban area, which we'll look at more closely in a minute. And that's to help provide alternate routes around US 97 and just provide a better connected system for all users. We've also integrated in with this plan the Wickiup Junction plan and the Lapine US 97 corridor plan, which are two important plans that were previously done are included in this plan. So to start with, I'll just highlight the Wickiup Junction improvements. So like I said, this was done through a previous study, but this is included in the transportation system plan now. So this includes an overpassing over the railroad tracks, so this realignment of US 97. So in the downtown area, you can see here what we've highlighted. We've highlighted this key arterial loop around the city, so going from First Street down Morrison, Finley View up Hinkle. So this is kind of your key downtown core area. And you can see these are kind of shaded in gray. So these are what we're identifying as priority improvements for the city. So this provides better mobility for all users. So in these areas, we want to emphasize or prioritize mobility for all users. So this would be sidewalks, bicycle lanes, to provide that connection in your downtown core. And we also have, you can see in the purple on the right-hand side of the screen, we've identified this industrial network. So this is to serve, better serve the industrial lands out there with a cross-section that better suits the needs of these industrial streets. So we realize that some of these streets have narrower right-of-ways currently. We're going to be trying to upgrade these roads whenever development comes in or when new road construction occurs. We want to upgrade these to the standards that we're proposing. And so these lands, we realize that you probably have a different use than you have in the downtown core. So the sidewalks might get away with being a little bit narrower in these areas. And you may not have parking required. So there'll be a little, we've tried to identify streets to suit the surrounding land use. So this, the blue street that you can see connecting 6th Street up with 3rd Street is this upgrade to these streets to provide connection down with 6th Street. So basically with this, we're suggesting that you upgrade these streets to a collector status, which basically would involve improving some of the curves on this connection so that it's just a smoother connection for people. And then if funding becomes available, more long-term, connecting Walker Street straight down to provide a better connection. For the Huntington Road realignment, what you can see here is this little realignment to move the intersection with Huntington Road a little bit further to the right, and that's just to provide a little bit more spacing between the intersection with US 97. And that could be completed with the realignment of Finley View with Morrison as well. So this map shows some safety improvements throughout the city that we've identified in the plan. And so if you saw on the system needs slide earlier in the presentation, most of the crashes are occurring on US 97 or on Huntington Road. So along Huntington Road, where it's in orange, we've identified that as an area to prioritize for widening shoulders in the clear zone around the road. And then also coming into the urban core, you can see two triangle symbols. So that's basically to provide some transitions from rural to urban speed to try to get people to slow down entering town. And then all throughout US 97 and the downtown core, we've suggested that you provide increased illumination and larger font on the signs in the downtown core. So within the TSP, we've provided cross-section guidelines for these different functional classifications of roadways. And This is meant to provide guidance on how roads should be constructed when they're upgraded. We realize that a lot of these roads are already constructed, so these would be upgrades when development occurs or standards to build to in the future as roads are constructed. And so this is meant to provide guidelines that be somewhat flexible. So for instance, in the urban core, we've provided a couple different scenarios that would include parking, which within near commercial areas, we would suggest you include parking, but we realize that on existing roadways that might be narrow or it might not be as necessary in certain situations. And similarly with rural roads outside of the urban core, we suggested that in some cases a multi-use path might be preferred over sidewalks and bike lanes. So we've tried to keep it flexible to meet the needs. So with that, I'll turn it back over to Joe to talk about transportation policies.
So those are the major projects. And again, real quick, within this downtown loop, you know, it's going back and it's getting this signal at Reed, Burr Street, and US 97 that's funded now. It's also getting the traffic signal at the Finley View intersection at the south end. And then you've got this ring road, so you can get from any of the other streets to those traffic signals and back onto the highway, which is one of the key things. So we think that system's really gonna help support the growth. I'll move out of the way again, Rick. Sorry. Mm-hmm. So transportation policy. So we have a number of policies that are intended to help implement the findings of the transportation system plan. One is, if a development comes in, what do they have to do? Well, right now in the city, a developer comes in, they typically default to the Deschutes County study requirements. The problem with that is Deschutes County has very rural standards. You know, they're not looking at the urban issues in the same way that you guys should be. So we've taken those standards, we've tried to amend those to better reflect the urban needs of a city. Some more, you know, pedestrian focus and safety, some of the issues that we've dealt with around the McDonald's and around the First Street intersection. We've also established access basing standards. And like all things, these standards are probably better defined as guidelines. We all know it's not a perfect world we live in, and there's differences that you have to account for every time a site plan comes across your desk. The one key finding I did want to highlight, and it's kind of showing up in this graphic here, is access to Highway 97. So if you remember, when you get north of First Street, actually I think the center line of First Street is the dividing point, Highway 97 goes back to an expressway classification. It's intended for the highest speed, mobility type function. And Devin, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't it an expressway all the way up to Bend?
Yes, from that point so. Forward? Yeah, I don't believe there's a gap.
So one of the things we were looking at in this plan is, you know, we were looking at the Crescent Creek subdivision, whether a new connection somewhere in the center of the highway would even make sense. And what we generally found is for 20 years of growth, you know, we're probably not going to need a new connection to the highway anywhere north of First, but between that and the Wickiup Junction interchange. Mm-hmm. Now that said, we do want to plan a local roadway system so that beyond 20 years we still have that right of way and we still have the ability to make those connections, because we know 21 years is going to come. Roadway ownership. I know this can be a pretty big issue. So right now in the city of Lapine, all your major roads, all your collectors, all your arterials are under the jurisdiction of Deschutes County. And the county doesn't like that. The county doesn't want to pay for the city's road. City says, well, you know, we can't afford to take that responsibility on just now. That's, you know, it's expensive and the roads aren't built to city standards, and that's a liability to the city. So I think we all understand that. I think the action item is really working with the county to establish some type of agreement of how that transition is going to occur and what are the circumstances for that transition to occur under. So I think that's a discussion Rick's still having with the county about what that intergovernmental agreement or IGA might need to include. And that really brings me to next steps. So we have this transportation system plan that I think you guys got to have a copy of on your desk as you walked in. But what are the key next steps? And one of the first ones, and probably most important ones, is trying to figure out how we're going to fund these projects. You know, we've got the you know, this signal at First and Reed, and we know how difficult that was to get that project funded. I think we're there, but there's more. There's bringing a lot of these roads up to city standards, sidewalk, bike lane improvements, the new signal at Findlay Butte. You know, and right now there's quite frankly not a lot of revenue. One of the things we're recommending is that the city start to look at some type of system development charge. Deschutes County basically charges, I'm estimating here, I think it's $4,400 for every PM peak hour trip that goes on the county system. Right now, if you develop in Lapine, you pay $0 because you haven't implemented any type of funding. And this doesn't have to be a very, you know, difficult process. This is something Deborah could help you out with. But it's a way to help development contribute to the overall citywide needs. The other thing is...
I'm sorry, I interrupt for a second. If you remember the land use ordinances that we all adopted, one of those ordinances set out the parameters for establishing an SDC. So you've got those building blocks in place. In essence, we just have to go through the formula and match it with the state and then determine how much a peak hour trip costs. And then the rest of the math falls in place. So we have the first step done. We just need to continue and get that completed.
What most communities find is that if they wanted to fund all their projects with new growth, it's some astronomical system development charge. And so typically you start with the $8,000 and then, you know, you guys get to look at that and say, well, what's realistic to make sure that growth does happen though? The second thing is maintaining the transportation system plan as a living document. Again, we've got this big boundary where growth can occur. And to an extent, we've had to guess, you know, where exactly that growth is going to occur. And we've done that with generalized assumptions. But if, you know, the city sees all of its growth happen, you know, along Huntington Road, for example, that might dictate, you know, reprioritizing what projects need to occur when and what those projects might need to look like. So TSPs are typically something you take a look at every year or so, and you have to do periodic updates. Roadway ownership intergovernmental agreement, we already talked about that. And then identify how individual developments contribute towards citywide needs. So as applications and site plans from developers come across your desk, you know, you've got to take this transportation system plan and these goals and figure out, okay, this is the vision. So how does this puzzle piece fit into that vision? How does it build toward, you know, these safety goals and these access goals and these multimodal goals? And so really that becomes the implementation of this plan and helps you move toward those goals. The challenge too is, you know, you spend, I don't know what the current estimate is now, Devin, $1.1 million to put in the signal at First and Reed. It's right in that neighborhood anyway. If you spend that money, how do you keep that to serve the long-term needs of all the industrial lands plus some of the mixed-use lands that are in that sliver of property next to it? I mean, that's really the key. You wanna make sure you preserve and protect and get the best use out of your money. And I think with that, that's really the presentation. So any questions, Ashley, myself, Deborah, Devin, happy to answer. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
wait a minute.
Could you
give
your name
before
you speak,
please? Hold on just a second. We'll now have public comments and questions. Raise your hand to be talk and give your name and address for the record, please.
Tom Bradford. Physical address or name address?
Where do you live?
16032 Dyke Road.
There you go.
Right off of Day Road and Traffic Corridor. My question is, I see what you're talking about. You're talking about transportation. And I, first of all, let me apologize because I haven't been to any of the other meetings, so I'm a little late on this. But I see you talking about transportation, but I wonder, where does public transportation come into this? Or does it come into this document at all? Or does it get mentioned? Or does something that gets mentioned someplace else in the comprehensive plan?
No, that's a great question. So the transportation system plan does have an element of public transportation. So right now there's a park and ride at the Wickiup Junction. There's also a plan to make the Wickiup Junction into an overcrossing, and it may have some impact on how access to that park and ride works, or may require other connections to that. But we don't think that's enough in itself. We think that, you know, really providing that regional transit service into the city core is another key priority for the city, and that's certainly captured in this overall plan. We think somewhere probably central down 3rd or 4th Street would be a real good, if not a park and ride, at least a transit stop. So that's certainly an element of the TSP.
So that's to be addressed, and it will be coming up in discussion.
Well, it's
of
part of this
transportation, how that might work in overall with this plan.
It's part of this plan, but again, this plan is a 40,000 foot, you know, citywide review, and so I think that's identified, Ashley, as a near term priority, actually, to coordinate with COIC, who's managing the regional transit system, and Scott Eichhoff, who's their lead planner, has been working with the city of Lapine, from what I understand, and I think they're looking regionally at how to better serve all the cities in Central Oregon. I guess what I'm saying is, we see the need. This plan identifies and documents the need, but there are follow-up action items that need to occur now to implement that.
So that would be addressed, like, if the public, this committee, we got the title of this committee.
Planning Commission.
Yeah, Planning Commission, I'm sorry.
What is it you're asking? And that'll help us direct. COIC runs they run the transit system and set up routes and how they do everything. The city doesn't.
Yeah, I know right now that the city basically isn't involved in that at all.
Right.
Is the city going to be involved in that in the future?
Not running the transportation.
Well, I mean, I'm talking not running, but talking funding. Okay. Well, for instance, right now, an organization called the Chief County Citizens Action Group has funded, partially funded a matching grant through the county, and CAG chips in $2,500 for 2 years to help with the local public transportation. And I'm wondering if the city of Lapine, at some future date, is going to do that, or is CAG or the Chamber of Commerce or someone going to be coming back to help fund that. And I don't know how the city, you know, if the city feels that's some of their responsibility or not. I'm just going out there asking questions.
One thing, if I may.
Go ahead.
I think that Joe has pointed out that there is an element of this TSP that speaks to and the priority or the level of need. And that's really what this kind of plans for. At some point in time, we have no doubt that COIC, who is in currently planning a funding mechanism or working on putting together a funding mechanism to bring to the whole Central Oregon Cities organization to fund it. Mm-hmm. And I would expect at that time that the council would take up some kind of position based upon data that supports need as to whether to fund it or not. Is that safe?
Yeah. They're going to actually come in November to give a presentation. So I would, if you keep track of it and make sure we know.
Would that be a city council meeting?
Yes.
Or, okay.
They're going to be here to talk about their funding proposals.
Okay.
Basically, they want the voters to approve a property tax, so that'll be fun for your pay. Well, so that, see, that good luck. So pay can debate that, supporting a property tax increase.
So in answer to your basic question was, this is really, the funding side of that will be at a later time.
Sure.
And we've identified November, so thank you.
I'll be here. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I would like to mention that it is the need is identified on page 74 of the, explains what we have now, and they make a couple suggestions, but everything is said that they will coordinate with the CET. So, and of course, funding is a big part of it. But it is addressed, and an issue is identified. that, you know, we didn't, we do need to look at that for the future, so.
I think especially with the senior population stuff too, there's makes a lot of sense being the city core where it's more accessible to more people.
Anyone on this side of the room like to ask a question or make a comment?
Sure.
Okay. State your name and address. Okay.
I'm Bob Crone, and I'm a principal broker with Kerr Commercial Group, and I represent a couple of clients actually. From here, there are landowners WikiUp LLC, who owns about 20 plus acres right at the corner of First Street on one side and Reed Lane on the other, and Highway 97. It's the northeast 20 acres that's the big triangle-shaped piece of property there. And a couple of other pieces of property, and then another client that has interest in industrial land. And my comments are basically Deborah set the stage saying, this is a little different TSP process than like BIN has gone through, in that you do have kind of a dual map situation that the TSP planners, and when they put this together, Kittleson and Deborah and the Planning Commission is considering. And the dual map is because right now, basically you have the group of land uses that are established and have been established for a long period of time by Deschutes County. And then you have an approved and adopted comprehensive land use plan and a group of ordinances that adopted plan a new zoning. And that zoning is different from the plan that the counties function under. And as you know, come January, the rotation kind of begins to occur, assuming that you are ready to take on management, and the comp plan and all of that becomes actually in effect. My concern, and the concern of as a person that tries to help communities bring in commercial users, employers, industrial users, and that sort of thing, is that the TSP, as it's adopted, that the focus needs to be on the future, because you're dealing with 20 years, and the map that is one of the cornerstones of the TSP should be the one that is the comprehensive land use plan that the city, you folks, have adopted, rather than the county plan. My concern is that if the focus becomes too much just the county rural plan, acreages such as the one I'm talking about, the 20 acres at Reed and Highway 97, are shown as forest use. Well, forest use has a completely different impact on the transportation system than what you're going to in January, which is mixed-use commercial. So you could put a mall in there, you could put a Fred Meyer Center in there, you could put some doctor's offices mixed with professional offices, mixed with even multifamily residential. And those are going to have a much higher traffic impact on the whole network in the city than if it were to stay, as the county has had it for decades, forest use. Maybe you'll have a log truck coming in and out of it twice a year. And so my concern was just to make sure that, and I guess I'm asking the question, that the TSP that's contemplated for adoption reinforces basically the comp plan and the fact that those properties that are shown for mixed-use commercial or for industrial on the comp plan that may not be shown that way on the county map, that basically the city's plan takes precedent and the transportation systems plan is designed to accommodate those things. What I don't want to do, and what my clients are fearful of, is to come in 3 years from now or 2 years from now and with a development application to build a nice new facility that's going to employ a bunch of people and run across saying, well, the TSP didn't take that under consideration, that would ever happen. And so you're going to have to go for an amendment of the TSP before we can even begin considering your proposed mixed-use commercial use. And that has happened many times in Bend. For example, the whole North Corridor systems plan in Bend around Cooley and Roble and Highway 97 and Highway 20,
that basically is in a development moratorium right now that stops any kind of development or any kind of improvement to that area until the transportation systems plan can adopt a whole new strategy for how to deal with traffic. And that is something that was, I think, because it was short-sighted in the first place, as that whole mall, we call the Golden Triangle, and we don't want to have that happen here. And so I'm just basically posing that we need to keep track when we're doing the systems development plan, that it may be within that 20 years, it may be within 2 years or 3 years that you begin seeing, as hopefully the economy continues to turn around, you're going to begin seeing opportunities for creation of jobs, creation of the shopping opportunities for locals as well as the region. And so I just wanted to appear tonight and get it in the record that I think it's really important that we focus on the city's plan, not the county plan, and that the TSP accommodates that plan.
So, to start the answer, this is the map that the TSP is premised on. So it is the city's comprehensive plan, and if you're looking at development within the city of Lapine, this TSP is the TSP that would be relevant to your application.
Right.
Now, specific to those properties at the corner of at First and 97 and Reed right here, mm-hmm. this little mixed use triangle. I think many of the members here of the council can certainly remember prior studies that looked at First and 97 and how that really served as a barrier to getting development to occur within the industrial lands of the city. So that intersection's been an issue for quite a while. What we did through the corridor plan was identify that a traffic signal was the preferred alternative to fix that. And when you put a traffic signal in there, you can handle quite a bit of growth, the industrial properties and quite a bit of growth from the surrounding lands. Now at the TSP level, it's not a parcel-specific plan. So it's certainly not looking at these mixed use saying this is where their driveways go, anything like that. But I do believe that it does account for quite a bit of growth over there and shows that this signal that's being planned can accommodate it.
That's the question.
Yeah.
And we know that it's not site-specific.
Right.
Or design-specific. Mm-hmm. But in a more general concept, it needs to be accommodate the planned use of
right.
the property. So from a land use standpoint, although we don't have a specific plan for a specific piece of property, we need to know that properties that are in the category of mixed use commercial or properties that are in the general commercial or traditional commercial or the different zonings of commercial that you have, as well as the light industrial and heavy industrial, we need to know that those loads eventually are potentially significantly greater than what the county plan
Absolutely.
Has for those things.
Yeah. It's important to remember that under the two map system, the state approved both plans.
Yes.
They realized that, a lot of the proposed zones that we put on the comp plan hadn't been studied from a traffic perspective. Well, now they have. And so, since both maps are adopted, there shouldn't be any surprises unless somebody comes forward with a proposal that we did not anticipate. So somebody wants to, and I'm just going to make this up to make it simple, somebody wants to propose a zoo on their property. We didn't put that on the zoning map, we didn't put it on the comp plan. That requires a whole different level of review because it was never considered. But if you remember going through the comprehensive planning process, we drilled down and listed as many zones as we thought were appropriate for the 20-year planning horizon. That's what's on the comp plan, that's what's approved, and Joe and Ashley's TSP studies that. So there shouldn't be any surprises, but if things do come up, it's just simply another level of review to see if the city system can accommodate that new growth. And that'll happen. During that.
As long as the TSP that's being adopted is within the land uses that are there. In other words, we're not proposing a zoo, but if somebody comes in with a mixed-use commercial zone, it's clearly mixed-use commercial, mm-hmm. some retail, some office, professional office, and that sort of thing, that you go, oh, okay, well, yeah, that's what we assumed, that's what we wanted on that site, that's what we were hoping eventually would occur, and our TSP took that into consideration.
Yep.
So that the developer, doing exactly what the city has identified it wants to do, if a developer comes in and wants to do just that thing, we don't get hit with, well, that's, we didn't allow for that in the TSP, because in the TSP it was all built around the county model, which said that was going to be forest land. So you're going to have to go through a whole process of modifying or amending
right.
the TSP.
No, you're not going to have to do that with the TSP amendment, but what you're going to have to remember is when we look at a transportation system plan, we're looking at that horizon year, that 20 years, and we're assuming that all these projects that we've identified are in place. Now, when your site plan comes in, you're going to have to figure out all the site-specific issues
sure.
and whatnot, but you've also got to work out, you know, what's identified in the plan versus what's actually on the ground to support it. Do you physically have the signal at First and Reed in place today when you want to have your site built? If not, you might have to look at how can you get the system ready to
right.
to support your traffic. So there's still a traffic study needed, but you're not amending the transportation system.
Thank you for that. Yeah, and I'm hearing the answer, yes, the systems development plan did take into consideration the planned future use of the various properties within the
yes.
city limits.
In fact, Deborah, correct me if I'm wrong, but wouldn't the county plan basically now have a big outline of Lapine that they no longer have governance and jurisdiction, so they no longer typically look inside the city, so this becomes the only plan?
Yeah.
Theoretically,
that's the goal.
That's the goal.
Or the plan. Same plan. Right, right.
Okay.
But Joe, now just to make sure, because I always feel like people do the false expectations.
Right.
Because they'll remember what they heard here. That doesn't mean, forget his property, that doesn't mean that if someone's going to come in and do something that's going to add 5,000 cars an hour, that they wouldn't have to help upgrade an intersection.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, so
absolutely.
I don't want anyone to come back and say, but you said at this hearing that the plan took our property into consideration. Because we had a meeting back a few months ago, and people said, well, gee, we'd never have to pay any SDCs on this property. And, you know, people kind of all raised their hand here. And so you got to be careful with that. So you don't know what he's building.
Good point.
We don't know, because by the time he builds, all that other property could have been built out. And you need to have a four-lane intersection. So I don't, if that's correct, I don't want anyone to leave saying that no matter what happens on that property, we said, sitting here on the 9th of October in 2013, that you would never have to pay, have a plan, an update, or something. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. We still have a huge list of projects that have zero funding. So, right.
And addressing that issue, you know, any developer, except for somebody that's a total neophyte, knows that, you know, there's going to be off-sites and on-site development costs. And that's the nature of the beast. Along that line of thinking, though, I would encourage, as you work to develop your schedule of systems development charges in an SDC system and process, that you leave that somewhat flexible so that there is alternatives. The other communities I've worked in, Beaverton's a good example, they have a very locked in, very automatic, you're going to develop umpty-dump square foot a building with umpty-dump impact on a particular zoned piece of property, and your systems development charge is going to be, plump. It's a certain percentage. You just run the calculation based on the numbers that you plug in, and it gives you, spits out, you know, the systems development charge. And in many cases, there's been opportunities where the developer can come in and say, look, will you waive a portion or all of the systems development charges if I build you, you know, I pave and put in sidewalks all along Huntington. One of my clients wants to develop the 8 acres that's on Huntington, that's right kind of in between the school and the retirement center and that whole vacant thing. One of the prospects there would be to say, rather than charge you, you know, umpty-dump dollars as a fixed systems development charge that we have to charge because it's in the city ordinance book, how about this? What we really need, and part of our systems development plan, shows this area that you're proposing to develop having curbs and sidewalks. If you agree to do that, you know, then we'll waive your systems development charges. A lot of cities put in their ordinances, when they're putting together systems development charges, language that does not enable that negotiation to occur. And it often it works to the detriment of the community because, you know, then all of a sudden you're in competition for a whole bunch of other projects because systems development charges on a given development aren't site specific to a, it doesn't match up to definitely a road project in the city that the city wants. And, but you can do that in negotiations if you don't lock.
We can get into a very long discussion, but I understand exactly what you're saying, and I think Deborah does too.
Yep.
Well, and again, Devin here with ODOT, just remember we're your neighbors too. And when your site plan comes in, if you impact our roadway, there's a whole set of standards that are statewide. That will come
you guys are absolute jerks.
we provided the money for this whole thing. We're the neighbors. We're the other neighbors. We're here to help you.
It's a friendlier, kinder ODOT.
Thank you for your comment. Anyone else on this side of the room would like to make a comment or ask a question? Last chance. No? Over here? Anyone like to make a comment or ask a question? Nothing? All right. And at that point, I'll close the public hearing section of the Planning Commission meeting, and we'll go right into Commissioner's deliberations. Justin, do you have any comments you might like to make concerning the transportation system plan is presented tonight?
I don't have any comments.
Okay. Gloria?
No, I appreciate the presentation. We've, you know, gone through most of this before, and a lot of work's gone into it. Great job.
Thanks.
Okay. Well, I'd like to thank Kendallson and everybody for the work that you've done. It's taken a long time. We've looked at this for a long time, and we all think it's a really good 20-year plan. Based on that, I ask for a motion by the Planning Commission to vote on accepting the Lapine Transportation System plan as presented tonight and forward our recommendation to the City Council. Any further comments? Again, I'd like a voice vote, please.
Well,
you need a motion.
I so move.
Justin?
I'll second that.
Okay. Like a voice vote, please, to accept the plan and send it to the City Council for their consideration.
Aye.
Aye.
And aye. All right. And we forward that on to the City Council for their action and deliberation. And at this point, the Planning Commission will adjourn. I'll set the motion to adjourn.
Second that.
Gloria, second.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Yep. And we're adjourned, and back to you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much. At this time, the City Council will open the public hearing for the City Ordinance number 2013-04, an ordinance adopting the City of Lapine Transportation System Plan, TST. And open the public hearing.
Staff comments.
Staff comments.
Okay, we don't repeat all that you heard, so, but if someone is missing something or if there's something forgotten, that can be repeated. I want to make sure that's clear. We can go ahead and repeat that. If anyone needs that presentation repeated, you just need to request that, and we would certainly do that.
And I'll ask at this time, is there any
staff?
And just one point to remind the City Council, there is an ordinance in your packet that goes through and we've prepared findings and all of the correct ordinance language. So that should you choose to move forward with adopting the TSP tonight, there's an ordinance for you to do that.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
So when we vote, we'll actually be approving the ordinance.
Correct.
Any further staff?
The only thing I would say, if you want to go to page 76, he brought up the road ownership, and that, go to page 76, there's one paragraph, and that we spent a lot of fun with, for those of you who were in email exchanges. You will see there's two paragraphs, and this is, I wrote this. The county, I think the key to it, what it's really saying, if you'll notice the second paragraph, will kind of give you an idea. These ladies are trying to find the page. I guess you can look at the last sentence, which says, items that need further discussion should include future funding sources, regular maintenance expenses, and jurisdictional transfer of improved roadways when an acceptable funding source has been identified and is in place. The county very much would have preferred different wording. They want the jurisdictional transfer. And again, it went back a little bit to the comment I made him. People are very selective often of what parts they pull out of things, and you know, you 10 years from now, if that had been allowed to stay, is when it bites you. Because nobody's here then, and they'll say, but you guys back in on October, you said the city was going to start taking those roads. And I wanted it made clear that yes, we'll look at taking roads, but there has to include a funding source to do so. That I didn't want anybody to read this when I'm long dead to say, wait, you guys had agreed to take those roads. And so we had several variations of this back and forth. They finally gave up and took mine. But it is an issue. I think it's a legitimate issue to realize that we may take on some of the roads, and there's legitimate reasons to do some of that. We'll have to work with the county, and they know that. But we didn't create this city with that in mind. When you approved your taxes at $1.95, $1.98, there was no, you'd have to add another $1,000 if you were going to start taking on roads. So when the fathers created the city and everyone went to the polls, they just wasn't part of it. And so there is no mechanism within our budget ever under the current funding system to do it. So now other cities have done things like they put a $5, $10 per month sewer water assessment on. You know, there's other ways that they do that. But absent that, it would be very difficult. And I think the county understands that too. But they're under a financial crunch, so they would love us to take them. There you go. That would be all my comments.
Okay. Are there any public comments at this time? Everybody okay? I think we had a great presentation initially through the Planning Commission open hearing. And I would like to say myself also, Kittleson has done a great job. And Joe and Ashley did a great job this evening in bringing this out to the final point. And so thank you very much.
Thanks.
And hearing no further comments, I will close the public hearing. And we'll have council deliberations. Any comments, council? Greg?
Yes, that was a great presentation. We covered all the bases. I'm glad you pointed that part out to us.
Thank you, Lewis.
I understand. I was one of the ones who thought we should take on roads until I found out what that cost. So thank you right now. That's all.
Kathy?
I look forward to it. It looks good.
Karen?
Great presentation and made it understandable. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking forward to the future if I make it to that far.
Stu?
Oh, come knocking on your coffin there.
Better be careful what you're knocking on.
Yeah, well, that's true. Well, we get both planning and council. Again, accolades to you folks for doing this and sticking with it. I did notice, I don't know, on your downtown core area at First in Huntington, I didn't see the traffic light that's currently there, or did I miss it?
Well, it should be there, so I'll check.
It's not on the map.
Yeah, it's not on the map.
It's on one of the maps.
Okay, on page, look on page.
Right. 59, the map fall on page 59. There's no signal.
Okay.
So, and we all know it's there, but.
Yeah. Well, consider that a clerical correction. It should not change the.
It's okay. It's a
clerical.
Yes. Yeah. But the same for public looking at it.
Yeah. No, it's important. It has to be right. I'm just thinking about the ordinance that's written. We can go forward with that and still.
It's not the light that's on Highway 97.
No.
So you're not planning to just move that one?
No. Nothing's in stone yet. But other than that, I think it's very well done. A lot of people in town and outside of town are looking forward to this plan going into it. It's been a long time coming, and we're very appreciative of the work.
Conrad?
I just want to say I appreciate all the work that went into this. It's a lot more than I don't want to sit down and write, but I'm eager to see how it turns out in 20 years, and I hope I'm still around in 20 years to be able to see this. I don't think I'm that close. So I just appreciate all the work you guys put into this.
I'd like to say that there's a clerical on the Huntington and Burgess. There's no street light there or traffic signal there also, so that's something. But I'd like to say that, you know, we all know, or we should know, that the community put a great deal of work into this. There were the open houses and the get-togethers where we were allowed to make actually some direct input onto streets and structures. So I think this has come back in an excellent form for the city to move forward and look 20 years out and be happy with what we've done in this plan and in our moving forward. Did you have something? Okay, so.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
I move to approve the Pine City Ordinance number 2013-04.
Second. It's been moved and seconded.
Do a roll call.
Yeah. This is an ordinance, so we're going to have a roll call. The discussion, is there any discussion? Okay. I just want to say, do we need to read through this?
You can.
Title.
You can title.
Okay. There is a motion before us to adopt the City of Lapine Ordinance number 2013-04, an ordinance adopting the City of Lapine's Transportation System Plan. All those in favor?
It's a roll call.
By roll call.
Greg Jones, aye.
Steve Martinez, aye.
Karen Ward, aye.
Kathy Agins, aye.
And Mayor Dustenbuck. So it's unanimous? I would if I could. I would like to announce that we'll take a short break. 5 minutes, and we'll turn to council.
I saw a signal somewhere today.
Well, Devin, you're always good to stuff that we've seen.
No, you're fine. I'm glad you're here.